Churchill Downs. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevevick.com. Underway with the fall meet here at Churchill. Transition made, transition complete from the Kentucky Downs season. And I suppose we should fold in the Ellis season on the Kentucky circuit, because the news that everybody kind of was anticipating, and not exactly a major secret, but yesterday evening, Churchill officially announcing the acquisition of Ellis Park. And so in terms of a Kentucky circuit, well, Ellis in the summer, Turfway in the winter, and Churchill dotted up in between spring and fall. So we'll get some details. Gary Pomisano Jr. This morning. I was hoping Gary was going to be here, but if you hadn't heard this week, Gary being tabbed as essentially the director of the racing side of things from a corporate standpoint. And so we'll get Gary on, and they moved him. It's funny, the director of racing, but he got moved to corporate, which is over by Hurstbourne. So I was hoping Gary would be here, but instead we'll catch him by phone. In fact, I think a lot, other than Joe Christofek today and Scott Shapiro, they're going to swing by. And I've got to draft Darren in here. Darren yesterday, didn't see him until after the show was over. So it's not an invocation visit like we do at Derby time, I hope we'll get Darren in for a greeting. Nice enough start to the racing season here and in New York. We got to talk a little sale results too in this opening 10 minutes. Marty McGee will join us at about 9:10, and we'll look at this Saturday slate. I'm just reaching for yesterday's results from here. Actually, probably save that for technically I guess I can save the Belmont for Dave Granick too. The season started, Belmont at Aqueduct underway with two shocking upsets. One shocking, not both really, right? The Mean Queen, her losing in the Entenmann, it wasn't as stunning per se from a betting standpoint. You know, she was 35 cents to a dollar. So from a betting standpoint, and she ran well. She got nailed at the wire by Proven Innocent, Jack Fisher, for Bruton Street. And actually, the very nice Stuart Janney breeding Megan's Joy by Blame. But yeah, she was coming back from what, a year layoff essentially. I mean, she's had a couple of fits and starts and so forth, and you know, trying to get ready to get her season going. But this was her first real race back, and so she did not run badly. However, Snap Decision just did not have an answer, and when Noah and the Ark, congratulations to Todd McKenna, Keystone Thoroughbreds with the Irish Bred, the Vinnie Rowe, 8-year-old gelding, beats Snap Decision and beats him, by as much as he pleased in the end. 9 lengths on the chart. But this was a dullish performance. I mean, after the two good efforts, you know, the Colonial Flat Race against Red Knight, you know, in the Colonial Cup, and then the romping win in the Shepherd. This was So Jack Fisher probably elated with Proven Innocence win, and then I'm sure a little shaken by Snap Decision's performance. So it's not often you see horses, I don't care if it's steeplechase or if it's the flat or if it's harness or anything else, you don't often see Horses at 35 cents and 30 cents on the dollar, back to back. You don't see them beaten like that all that often. Yeah. So that one, that came as a bit of a stunning start to the the Belmont at Aqueduct season. The rest of the action, the rest of the action was action. It was, kind of a typical New York day, and that included a maiden special win for Kelly Breen and George Hall and partner, a cloud computing filly, Crypto Mama, under Joel Rosario back in New York. Joel's been kind of gallivanting. And beyond that, you had Chad and Peter Brandt win, Rosario as well. That was the allowance early on the card. Another maiden winner, but this one for older horses, for Jimmy Bond, Dragon Slayer Stable, Jester's Song, McLean's Music, Gelding, and maiden winner collaboration, two-year-old Linda Rice for Barry Schwartz, one of Barry's homebreds, English Channel, Philly. And what else came on? Paulo Lobo, there's that man again. It's unbelievable. What, 3 days, wins at New York, Indiana, Kentucky. Yeah, Paulo Lobo, this one for that AMO Racing again. And AMO was also plenty active at the sale. We'll get to sale results in a second. I'll run through this quickly. 40 Claimer Group, hometown for Rob Attriss, and the allowance quasi feature on the flat, Truancy, Barkley Tag, coming off the Saratoga win, follows it up with another nice win at 4-5. And Gary, my man, Siaka, for, we had that conversation with Gary Gullo and GMP Stables. Rugged Union breaks the maiden in the nightcap. And pretty much, won as and I'm just looking there. Yeah, there were no claims. So they're underway in New York, and today, 9 race card, state bred allowance, money allowance, as the feature, a couple of maiden affairs, etc. And here at Churchill, I didn't get a chance. I was kind of rushing to do a bunch of different things. Then I went to that. I want to thank Heedley Bell and everybody at Mill Ridge. Had such a nice time. Got to hang with Sid and Francis Karen, the Legion Bloodstock team. I put up a picture of everybody, Travis Durr and Christian Valenti. I was with, it's funny, I was with Joe Valenti early in the week at Kentucky Dads, and then with Christian last night. What a terrific group. Evan Cianello, Anna Seitz's partner and husband, more than a partner, and really, really fun. Christy McDermott, Travis's wife, and I think, and who else did I? There he is. There's Big D, and Kyle Zorn. Kyle Zorn, who told a crazy funny story about Smarty Jones's Derby win. A lot of fun. I don't know. At some point, in fact, I made him promise that he'll tell the story Breeders' Cup week. I told the Legion team I'd have him on. And, of course, this was the, this is the Legion bloodstock side of things. And they've amassed a record. It's pretty amazing. They've amassed a record so far this year. They've had 27 of the horses that they sold, that they offered. They've had 27 make starts as two-year-olds. They've got 15 wins from 27 starters, and there's still apparently some very good two-year-olds that they pinhooked and developed and had their had a hand in that have yet to debut. So Legion Bloodstock, a young team, and really seem, on the rise. I mean, Joe has told us, we've talked to Joe. You've heard him mention his son Christian has they've all got good eyes, and Christian has bought some very nice horses as babies, that have proven out on the racetrack. Case, let's grab Marty. Let's get Marty McGee going in here. And I've got a little, I got a little problem here above my eye. I cut myself, and and it just refuses to stop bleeding. So I may have to turn this over at some point to KK and get him in here to handle things. Yeah, I fell and broke my glasses, which was not happy about. And the frame cut me right above my eye, and as you can imagine, that, you know, the regimen that I'm on has turned me into a something of a hemophiliac. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, there's plenty of, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You take these Casey, you know, the blood thinners, and God forbid you do what I did. So. I'm doing my best here to hold it together. yeah, I know. I just Tina checking on me as well. I'll save the rest of the whole Churchill action for Marty, because you had some prices to start this meet, and it's pretty amazing when we got to the nightcap here yesterday that they started to say that, you know, because I ended up heading over to Lexington, and, you know, when I saw the prices that fell early in the sequence, I thought, well, you know, you could have a pick five carryover, and it didn't come to pass. And in fact, from what I can tell, there were two winners of close to 100,000 each, 99,000 dollars. Two pick five tickets. Marty McGee joins us. Marty, some big balloons to start the Churchill Fall.
I want to forget about it. I got my ass handed to me yesterday, Big. But yeah, anyway.
Well, wait a minute. Does that mean you gave? I explained to everybody that you sent the Kentucky Downs faithful home happy with that nightcap winner with Navy Goat. You gave everybody a walk off, get out winner.
Yeah, you've heard of screwing up a bet, right? So yeah.
Oh no!
As my dad would say, I got my fingers burnt. And they zag. You know, I remember many times walking out of Laurel, and, you know, because I really was intent on picking winners in the Baltimore Sun, and I would have five winners, and I would be, you know, $200 loser. There's a way to do that, you know. So, anyway, on to the next day, Vic.
There you go. Well, and tomorrow, of course, which we'll talk about in a minute, but I do want to just hit a couple of these highlights. Chris Hartman with that 15-1 winner, 32-36, Constitutional Law. I actually, because I was going to the party at Millridge, I really ended up not having the time to write up the pick five, and I'm glad I didn't, Marty, because I would have, you know, it would have been money down the drain. Although I will say this, there was nobody in this sequence that was like some, you know, ridiculous that was completely impossible. There were kernels of possibility, including the Cassie 48-1, 47-1 winner, who was, you know, first time dirt. So there was a little something to put this together if you were intrepid and lucky.
Well, that Cassie thing, I rarely go all, but I used an all to end my early pick five. It was the fifth race. But I was way dead before that. So, of course, whenever you go all and you're alive, you know, it's the, as Vic Stalter would say, the 87.6% rule. When you have all, 87.6% of the time, the favorite wins. But if you're not alive, that's when the 48-1 wins. Anyway,
that's funny. We should mention that early pick five. I mean, the early pick five was a single winner of 196,000, one ticket.
Yeah. It's. I would have liked for it to be 98,000 and sharing in it, you know, with the other person, but no.
Marty, let's, before we talk about what's going on here, let's clean up and wrap up the Kentucky Downs meet. Mike Maker with a record-setting performance, Tyler Gaffalione with a terrific meet. There were several people that distinguished themselves. The bettors absolutely couldn't get enough of the undulating course, could they? $80 million for the 7 days.
Yeah, you know, it's such an exhausting time, though, Bick. You know, all of us commuting up and back to there. I did it a couple times. God knows about the jocks. Like Tyler Gaffalione, he had that one span of when Saratoga was ending. I think he went back and forth. I think he went Saratoga, Kentucky down, Saratoga, Kentucky down, Saratoga, and then might have had a day off, something like that. But there were like 5 days in a row he was back and forth. Rosario, same thing. You know, I noticed he was,
wow,
you know, Wednesday at anyway, it's exhausting, especially for the trainers. They're doing the sale right now, too. So, but it is such a fun thing to because it's so unique and so different. You know, such a change of pace from the Keeneland / Churchill Ellis, you know, and Turfway over the winter. I mean, that gets real old, you know, after a certain period of time. But anyway, they have maxed out to such a high degree. You know, all of it starting, of course, with the end run that Corey Johnson made, what, 10, 11 years ago with sneaking those machines into his facility there, and now look at the way it's proliferated, you know, not only down there, but all across the border. You know, strategically, all the Churchill and Keeneland, they've all strategically set up these quote-unquote racing facilities where they have harness, you know, harness or quarter horse, whatever. It's just a way to get their foot in the door with the machines. But anyway, I digress. You know, we as the media members are right there with the officials, and the jocks are right below us. And, you know, you can mingle with anybody at any given point down there. It's set up like a church picnic or something with the way the tables are and everything. So, and then the racing itself around that immense oval, so different. It's really a welcome change of pace for everybody, I think. But having said that, I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, it's going to continue to be, you know, this. It appears, you know, the seven day opportunity for them. We talked to Ted Nicholson. Hammer will join us. He's on the road, but we'll catch up with Hammer at some point this morning. But Ted, you know, laying out the, you know, another 7 days next year, and it seems like it's memorialized in the position, you know, right before Labor Day, you know, right to the doorstep of this, you know, Churchill Fall meet. And of course, Marty, you know, one thing, and we can now segue into the Churchill portion of the conversation, the unique scenario that saw, you know, all turf, obviously, over there. And now we've got this 14-day meet here that's all dirt. And you can tell that, you know, the dirt horses were laying in wait for the entry box.
Well, I was surprised that they went ahead once they decided, I'm talking about Churchill, once they decided to not have turf racing, this is the first meet that I know of that I can remember since 2013 when Churchill took over these particular dates from Turfway, which was struggling mightily, you know, 8-9 years ago before they were purchased by Churchill. But this is the first time I can remember them using Wednesdays in this meet. So now it's a 14-day meet. They're going to run next Wednesday and the following Wednesday, September 21st and 28th. I was thinking, when they canceled the turf racing, why would you want to go ahead and try and stretch the racing office so thin in terms of recruiting horses for these Wednesday cards? But having said that, these first three cards, and I talked to Ben Huffman before the meet started about this particular issue, and he said, we got a whole lot of horses at our disposal, obviously because of how immense the purse structure is. So it looks like they'll make it through. They wouldn't want to do this, you know, for any sustained length of time they might have to at the fall meet. Maybe they'll lop off Wednesdays there if they feel like they can. Although, you know, again, they have so many horses, including two-year-olds, that can fill a lot of these maiden races. So, you know, they're in a good spot, and it's mostly about the money.
No doubt about it. And speaking of money, we're going to talk to Gary. I mentioned Gary Palmisano is going to join us later, Marty, but some thoughts on the Ellis acquisition.
We all knew that was coming. I didn't know until it hit Matt Haggerty. You know, he was in on it, you know, knowing about it. So he, as soon as the announcement came out, he had the non-press release version of the sale at on DRF.com, $79 million. I had heard it was going to be considerably lower, but I don't know what it involves, you know, all the details of it. I'm sure that Churchill will try and make it better. If you went to Ellis the last two or three years, as Matt Haggerty said in the story, the horsemen were up in arms over the lack of action by those Laguna people who owned the place for the last 3 years. I remember going to the press conference. It had to be, I guess, August of 2019. Maybe it was, it might have been before, it might have been June of 2019. Anyway, all the officials from the New Mexican tribe came in and laid out these grandiose plans of $55 million for this and $40 million for this and night racing and all that. You know, Churchill obviously has the resources to go ahead and follow through those plans. And there's probably people in that section of the state, Evansville and Henderson and Owensboro and all that, who wouldn't mind seeing that happen and have Churchill build something that people want to go to. The last year, the 2021 meet at Ellis, they didn't even have working bathrooms. You had to go in porta potties. And, you know, there's just cracks in the pavements everywhere. The place is falling down. They have this long-standing problem with water. I know that it went kind of viral on social media about the jockstroom showers.
Yes.
The water was brown, you know, all that. So bottom line is hopefully Churchill, this is their second go-around with it. You know, I don't know if that was in
right.
You know, they had it for 5 years or something, I think from late 90s to the early 2000s. But hopefully this further strengthens what is obviously becoming, if not the best circus on the country, with Ellis Park being on its way back up.
Well, and you know, the basically year-round ties here in Kentucky for Churchill with the, you know, between the spring and the fall meets, and you know, then you fold in Ellis for summer and Turfway for winter, and Keeneland and Kentucky Downs, and you've got yourself, you know, really it's amazing where things were, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, where there was, you know, a bunch of uncertainty about Ellis's future, Ron Geary trying a bunch of different things to stay alive, and you mentioned Corey Johnson. Corey instrumental in you know, helping play out the string until the HHR could be basically codified in Frankfurt, and now you know, basically a secured future for Kentucky's signature industry from a breeding standpoint to a racing standpoint. A lot of positives, really, to be, you know, to be associated with what's gone on here. Let's talk about the racing, Marty. And
yeah. I want to say one more thing about Corey Johnson.
Sure.
He used to try and coach, and I say that in quotes, coach us riders to not say or to not write slots like historical horse racing things, because it was such a touchy thing with, you know, from a legal standpoint as to
sure.
finally getting this through past the Family Foundation. So he used to, like, you know, Marty, please don't mention anything about slots. But if you go in there and see those machines, I can never find the horse races being run on these machines. I can never see them. You'll have to point them out to me next time. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's an algorithm, like everything else these days. It's an algorithm.
Right. Yes.
Marty, let's talk about the card. And, you know, you never really know what is going to happen with two-year-olds and what kind of matchups you're going to get. But we have a marquee matchup in this Iroquois tomorrow. Let's dive in.
I mean, I'm kind of skeptical that Damon's Mound won't be the favorite in there. I mean, there's been so much hype on this horse, and deservedly so. I mean, he ran just tremendous in breaking his maiden, and then, of course, the Asmussen horse had an excuse in the Saratoga Special, but he won off by himself again. So, but nonetheless, echo again, the Gunrunner second-timer from Winchell and Asmussen is the 2-1 morning line favorite in the Grade 3 Iroquois, which is race 9 of 11 tomorrow at Churchill, over Damon's Mound, who's at 5-2. I'm thinking more like maybe they'll both be 8-5 or something. I don't know, but, you know, Rosario, who rides Echo again, always is a big help in terms of, you know, drawing money. So I'm just, I picked Damon's Mound. Damon's Mound over Echo again. But I'm just excited to see this one because these are two of the I can't remember this race getting such early stars, you know, when they moved this race to September a few years ago. So it's pretty exciting.
Big time. And, you know, Echo again, we laughed yesterday with KK. I mean, how the Winchell homebred was, you know, the worst kept secret at the Spa, awaiting that August debut. And, you know, then he really delivered. A lot of times, you know, as Andy famously says, he pulls the famous the Harvey Pack line, the fastest horse in the world, that most often Marty ends up not panning out, right? I mean, it usually they end up being disappointments. Echo again did not disappoint and you know, gets outside. And, you know, this is a mile and a 16th. I mean, a lot to ask, really, a horse to stretch in his second start from 6.5 to 8.5.
Absolutely. To me, that's why not only is Damon's Mound drawn more favorably in post three, whereas Echo again has the open air outside box, which doesn't apply in two turn races, Vic. You know that.
That's right.
So, you know, but the two races versus the one to me is another edge of note for Damon's Mound.
Well, in addition, I don't want to leave out actually a couple of other interesting players that Curly Jack is not far off these horses based on that effort at Ellis in the juvenile. And what about Jace's Road from Brad Cox?
I mean, I think there'll be more space in terms of the tote board. I think that the two favorites will be way ahead of. I mean, this is 2-1, 5-2, and then 7-2 on Jace's Road. I don't think he'll be that close in terms of, you know, the odds. But having said that, it's Brad Cox. You know, it's a horse that won off by himself and looked really good with Talamo up on that Saturday at Ellis Park, August 6th for Jace's Road. So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of these guys are excited they have horses in here. So, you know, again, a terrific renewal of the grade three $300,000 Iroquois, ninth race of 11 tomorrow.
Let's talk about the 11th. We'll talk about the two two-year-old races, and then we'll address the Open Mind, the Locust Grove, and the Thoroughbred Society. And the fillies are not necessarily as accomplished and might be a little bit more, I don't know, am I being generous saying it's going to be more competitive, or is Asmussen and the Gunrunner Three Chimneys homebred in here, Grand Love, is she a dominant factor?
She might be. She has the highest buyer of 84, even though the favorite in here is Just a Warrior off her Ellis debutante victory. She's 4-1 over 9-2 over Grand Love. I think Grand Love probably be the favorite, maybe 3-1. But there's just so many options to choose from in this 12-horse field, Vic, that I don't think she could be any lower than that. But nonetheless, I'm sure Steve Asmussen is eagerly awaiting both these races tomorrow, because Grand Love looks like she's got a future too.
Grand Love feels like isolated on the lead, no?
I don't know how you could say that with all these horses coming out of sprints. I mean, you've got a horse like Naughty Gal who was, you know, on the lead the whole way in the Adirondack. I don't know why Grand Love would have to, you know, open up on her. And there's a number of others who, you know, where the strategy might be such that would be the only way to they think they could win. It's just go on with it right from the start.
Well, you know, and I just pulled up the Timeform pace projector, actually, which calls for it's profiled as a red race, as a fast pace. And the interesting thing, Marty, to consider for those that start their handicapping this way, the two speeds on Timeform are the two favorites, are Grand Love and Just a Warrior. And so, you know, maybe there's real room here for somebody to sit right behind the speed and get first run on tiring favorites late.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to predict how this one's going to set up. You know, these two-year-old fillies, a lot of them trying two turns for the first time. You know, that, to me, that's a kind of a grand
recipe. Recipe for a staggerfest?
Possibly.
Really interesting. I'm just checking what you and let's see. You've got Just a Warrior on top, Fun and Feisty, and Grand Love are your top three.
There you go.
All right. Let's talk about what absolutely enhances this card. And as I said yesterday to Kevin Kirstein, Marty, the sport frequently tries to manufacture rivalries. You can't. The rivalries grow organically, like that of Sconson and Bell's the One.
Yeah, this will be the seventh time they've met. They've in the previous six, they've one has beaten the other three times apiece. I talked briefly yesterday with Neil Peston. He says, I'm the best horse in the race, and unless I have bad luck, I'm going to win. So, you know, and, you know, Neil and the Foleys, they really enjoy the banter that goes back and forth. You know, oftentimes, even I've been guilty of it. We'll call it a budding rivalry when a couple of horses are meeting for the third or fourth time. But this is one of those that it kind of harkens me. In recent memory, we had Echo Zulu or Zulu Alpha versus Arklo. I think they met like 11 times in some of those longer turf races, but yeah, this indeed, especially because they're friendly about it. You know, the Foley crew and Neil, you know, they're really enjoying this. Neil did tell me that Bell's the One might come back in the Thoroughbred Club of America, depending on how she comes out of this. And if not, you know, either way, the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint, she's six. This will be her last race. He hadn't announced it, but he said go on with it.
Interesting. All right. I appreciate that. We should also note the club car, who feels like it feels like she's been around literally for 10 years. It made me laugh, actually, when I saw that she was in here.
She's going to trip out good because she'll probably get first run on the two favorites. And, you know, she's Hickory. I think she's been first or second in like 18 of 28. And she's got the open air outside box, so I like the trip she's going to get.
Should mention Joyful Cadence in here for John Ortiz, who we've been a fan of, and has been useful as a exotic candidate behind Sconson and Bell's the One in recent efforts. And there's also Chitara for Nacho Correas, who is, of course, so easy to root for. Let's talk about the Grade 3 Locust Grove. These are the fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th. There's half a dozen of them, and that includes the likes of Little Tootsie, who we can tell Tom Amos and Joe Politi are trying to convert from a sprinter into a two-turn horse, and played hard for the unbelievably powerful Phil Bauer barn. Phil is like, what a summer he had at Saratoga. Just amazing.
Six for 13, and he and Mr. Rigney just won a Indiana bread steak on, I think, Tuesday,
yep.
maybe Wednesday.
I mentioned it yesterday.
With
yep.
Fireball Baby, yeah. And so, yeah, I've got her picked on top. She took the most wicked beat of all time in the last race of Oaks Day 2021. And, you know, Phil, I wrote about something about her in the Saturday thing. What did I say? Something about how the way she won that race at Saratoga by a nose, that's when you know you're going good, when you don't get beaten those kind of photos and you win them. So I'm riding the hot Phil Bauer wave and going with Played Hard in the Grade 3 Locust Grove, which, by the way, is the richest race on the card at $400,000.
Talk about the Thoroughbred Society race. This is the sprint, and interesting that a few horses like AC Expressway ended up scratching for this spot. So did Necker Island, who had considered a turf try at Kentucky Downs. And kind of an eclectic set came together for this.
I've got my brother's horse, my best bet of the day, Miles Ahead, the 2021 claimer of the year when he was another hand. But I think, you know, if he's going to get him a stake like this, this is now, I think, isolate the 7-5 morning line favorite right next to him is very vulnerable off that 7/8 race where he was kind of, you know, not challenged on the lead. I think there's other speed in here, namely Top Gunner to his outside for Ortiz. I think those two might go head and head and might very well set up for Necker Island, or preferably my brother's horse, Miles Ahead, who gets Martin Garcia, because Talamo, as you know, rides Ivar tomorrow in the Woodbine Mile. For another red hot trainer, I looked up Paulo Lobo, seven yep. for his last 12. One at Saratoga, one at Belkwaduck, two at Indiana, and three at Kentucky Downs.
Exactly. I mentioned it when touching on the Aqueduct results, and Paulo just killing it, and Ivar very much eligible to win that mile tomorrow. We'll talk to Ron Gierkink at the top of hour two. Marty, in addition to the stake sequence, and we should tell everybody, here's the way the multi-race opportunities lay out. There is an all-stakes pick five that starts with the Open Mind, 3:50 Eastern, the seventh race. So the Open Mind, the Locust Grove, the Iroquois, the Thoroughbred Society, and the Pocahontas. All-stakes pick five, obviously an all-stakes pick four that starts in the eighth. There's also a middle pick four that starts with the Maiden Special for the boys going 6.5, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. And there's a pick five that starts in the fourth race. Marty, regarding the maiden races, there's quite a bit of pedigree on display. The girls in the second, they go the flat mile, and then the boys in the fifth go the 6.5.
Yeah, the second race, I've got it Comparative, Always Laughing, and Peacock Glass. And then the fifth, I've got Easy Action over Loggins and Communication Memo.
I haven't done all the pedigree work on the baby race, but I will note one thing. The Catman with that candy ride Dagmar making a second start, kind of dirtied up. And then there's a couple of nice, you went Comparative, the Godolphin player, but I saw the Via Villaggio, second time starter for Rudy Brissett, Peacock Lass, and there was also somebody else that caught my eye that had a little bit of a that had a little bit of pedigree look, and now I'm going back and I'm having trouble finding who it was that caught my eye. I thought it was the Catman, but I maybe not. No, maybe not. All right.
Anyway, you mentioned
the mile.
That's a tough
distance.
You mentioned Nacho was easy to cheer for. He's 6 days older than you, Vic.
He's also
he's in the club.
Circle of. That's hysterical. How did that ever come up? How did you find that?
I I asked him how old he was one day, and I said, "When's your birthday?" He said, "November 14th, 1959." So yeah,
unbelievable. 6 days
older
than hysterical. So, all right, so he goes to the head of the class ahead of me, and with Jay Pribman following up it's now a superfecta of November and into December birthdays. By the way, I found what I was looking for. Catalano's Railhorse in the Fifth is who I was thinking about. That's a factor gelding named King Me, who is a half to Dream Shape that I'm sure some people remembered, who was very fast early. That's who I was looking for, and there's others. Army Star for Ken McPeak is a half. This is an Army mule, and they've been winning. And this is a half to Drina's Star, who people might remember as a nice stake horse, and so on and so forth. There's some nice pedigree to be gleaned in these two races, the second and the fifth.
Don't ever sleep on Cat Daddy. All right, Ben.
He was in rare form down at Kentucky Downs, I'll tell you.
He's usually in rare form. We'll see you, buddy.
Exactly. Very true. Marty McGee, everybody. DRF McGee. We will see Marty here at the Downs tomorrow. All right? We're going to stay here, and I'm going to give you a little bit of result-type conversation as we reach for Maggie Kimmett, and I've got to get Casey. Let me give you Maggie's number, because the action today at Fair Hill, and that action is the Real Ryder Cup. You heard us discuss it last Friday with Callie Francois, and Callie's participating. A bunch of equestrians from the industry. Actually, it's a really interesting list. And I put up the link to donate. They've already raised $170,000 thus far. So we want to, get this up as high as possible. The Real Ryder Cup, which Anita Motion conceived, and it's expanded. There's now actually a spring and a fall version, but the one today at Fair Hill, and I'm going to pull it up so I can read you a couple of, I'll read it when Maggie joins us, because there's somebody on the list guaranteed that you're friends with, or you have mutual friends, and even people that we haven't seen in a while. And one of those names, Larkspur Carroll, Del Carroll's sister, the veterinarian, and Lark, she's got 16,000 in donations lined up already. But of course, Lark and Del, brother and sister, and their legendary father, Red Carroll. And how about who else is, can we think? Penelope Miller, you all know, and Rosie Napravnik, she's involved. How about that? Going up and down the list. And who else do we know that names caught? Well, Callie, obviously. Got to get Callie's donations up. She's $750. Come on. John Enos, the trainer. John Enos is participating. And Jackie Savoy, Jackie Exercise Rides, and how about Dr. Benson? Dion Benson is riding in it. Aislinn Carroll from the great Carroll family, of course. Decky's sister, and she works for the famed. The famed equestrian, in Pennsylvania, the Olympian. Aaron Grider as well. So show ring action, $165,000 they've raised. While we wait for Maggie Kimmett to join us and Ron Gierking, top of the hour, let me give you yesterday's numbers. The first week, essentially, of the sale came to an end, and just insane. The the feeling last night at the Mill Ridge party, including remarks from Heedley Bell, that, you know, really were heartening and you know, to essentially, you know, celebrate what, you know, what has been a just a banner 4 days to kick off this sale. And the numbers are just, you know, through the roof. It's more of the same yesterday again. Two more seven-figure sellers, including the session topper that the Quality Road. Quality Road has had a phenomenal sale. This is one that the Nardellis offered and bred in partnership. And Donato Lanny scooped up $1.7 million. There was the Gunrunner out of Malibu Prayer that Four Stars offered, bred by Three Chimneys, Mike Ryan, and the Top Filly. Those were the colts. The Top Filly, another Gunrunner, Stoneway Farm bred, that Mayberry bought, $925,000. So, 4 days of yearling sale. Here are the numbers. Where is it? $669 sold. Here we go. 669 horses, $237 million, an average of $354,000, median of $275,000, and if you compare it to last year, the gross was up 18.25%, average up just about 10%, median up 10%, and the leading, obviously the leading buyer, Mike Rapoli, either alone or in partnership, 57 yearlings. We thought last year was a buying frenzy. That was a warm-up for what has gone on here with Jacob West and Rapoli. And Rapoli's going to split some horses up, too. They're not all going to go to Todd. And I imagine maybe Bruce Levine might get a few. But spotted buying horses with Bob Baffert, too. So it looks like Baffert's going to have some Rapolis out on the West Coast next year. So keep an eye on that developing story. The story, though, today at Fair Hill, Maggie Kimmett is joining us, and we got to celebrate everybody and all the work that is going into the Real Ryder Cup, the fall version. And Maggie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Everybody ready?
We are getting there. It feels like Christmas morning here. You know, everybody's so excited. We've lucked out. The weather is absolutely perfect. Not a cloud in the sky. It's going to be about 80 degrees. So, we're excited for this evening. I think we're going to have a huge turnout as well. It sounds like more people than we were expecting are going to be here to watch.
And everybody, explain everything. Let's give everybody a primer again on the Real Ryder Cup, on the concept, you know, how the money gets raised and where it goes.
Sure. Soup to Nuts. This was an idea developed in 2017 by Anita Motion. It was just one of those, wouldn't it be cool if we did XYZ things, that came to fruition basically as like a novelty event in conjunction with the Plantation Field International Horse Trials. So that first year, we were basically something that went on during their lunch break. And it was sort of a concept was sort of like a Dancing with the Stars idea, where people that you wouldn't normally see going over fences, riding some horses, got up and did it, you know. And that first year, we had Dr. Dean Richardson, Rosie Napravnik, and Joe Sharp. And just over the years, the list of folks who've ridden is kind of like a who's who, which is great fun. But it really got everybody just thinking, here's a great way to raise money for Thoroughbred Aftercare. And it's kind of snowballed. This is our sixth event. We're especially excited to be back live this year. In 2020 and 2021, we did it virtually, which was great that we were still able to raise the money and figure out a way to still do it. But we're back to our original, to Anita's original concept tonight, which is teams competing live over a course of 2-foot 6-inch jumps, so they're not overly high. Folks who are a little rusty can still manage it. And as Penelope Miller said last night during our little pregame dinner, she said, you know, this is something that everyone wants to do now. And as of this morning, Steve, we have raised this year alone $165,307.99. We did have our first ever Kentucky event on July 9th down at New Vocations, and that was a runaway success. I think $97,000 was raised down there alone. So again, it's just something now that's really caught on. Every dime of it goes to Thoroughbred Aftercare, and our beneficiaries are our Fairhill Thoroughbred Show, which takes place this weekend, and they actually host us. So we're their kickoff event tonight, and also New Vocations and the Retired Racehorse Project. So we couldn't be happier or more proud of it. I mean, like I said, it's just a cool idea that Anita had, and we couldn't imagine that it would turn into this 5 years later.
And it really, much like what transpired with the Retired Racehorse Project, organic and fledgling, innocent origin that then just has ballooned. Good things happen, essentially. You take a good idea, you got people that are committed, and it snowballs.
Oh, exactly. And, I mean, the enthusiasm for this is infectious. You know, the riders we have down here, we have several returning. Penelope Miller is back for her fifth appearance. She's been with us every year since 2018. We got Maggie Wolfendale Morley coming back. Kira Nygaard, who was last year's, she's a young rider, and she was last year's top fundraiser. She's flying in from Del Mar, and she rode in Kentucky as well. And then I love this fact. Will Slater is our youngest rider. He's 10 years old, and this is his second Real Rider Cup. So the kids team, don't sleep on the kids team. The kids are all the children of jumper trainers and riders and just folks in the area. And it's great fun to watch it, but it just tickles me to death that here's a 10-year-old who's coming back for his second appearance. And he's riding Orchestra Leader, whom a lot of folks are going to recognize from jump racing. He's also back for his second appearance. Marilyn Million is really well represented here by Talk Show Man and Flash Phelps. Talk Show Man is going to be ridden by Maggie Morley and Penelope. There was a last-minute audible have to have been called because the horse Penelope was going to ride was messing with an abscess. So Lindy Gutman, Talk Show Man's owner, said, no problem. Talk Show Man, they can both ride him. They're going to share him this evening. Which is great, but just folks are so worked up about this and so excited. Callie Francois is like literally beside herself to be doing it. So there's a lot of familiar faces, familiar names. There's someone for everyone, you know, to root for and perhaps donate to. And as we always tell folks, every dollar counts. Some say, oh, I don't have much to donate. Doesn't matter. You know, show your support to whomever and however you'd like. We're happy to have the help.
Absolutely, and in fact, saw a missive our friends at Country Life that is sending out Flash McCall with Kim Crowell, and 4 o'clock today. It's free to get in, and I assume that there's plenty of infrastructure and the kinds of things that a show like this, comes with, in terms of booths and not trade show, but a lot of festivity activity.
Well, most of it is really focused right on the riders themselves. Gates are going to open to the public at 4. We'll begin promptly at 5 because we do have 33 riders. We have 10 teams.
Wow.
And we'll be fighting daylight a little bit. So we'll have it right there. It's right here in Fairhill, actually across Route 273 from the training center itself. You'll see where there's a big arena and a grandstand and whatnot. So that's where we are this evening. And then as soon as we finish with our competition and our award ceremony, we'll have a nice after party. And a local restaurant, Wesley's, is supplying the food and cash bar. And we have some entertainment. So it's a lot of fun. It's a great evening out. And like I said, I keep hearing that an awful lot of people are planning to come, so it should be great.
Well, for those that can't come, you can donate. Go to the website. We've sent out the link a few times, but The Real Rider, and as opposed to R-Y-D-E-R, it's R-I-D-E-R, TheRealRiderCup.com. Hit the donate now, and there's the whole list, and pick out the rider of your choosing, and support this terrific cause and something that has gained a tremendous amount of momentum. And I'm curious about the ability to watch it. How much, I know there'll be plenty of social media coverage, Maggie. But is there a way to watch the action?
Unfortunately, there's not. We've looked into live streaming, and at this point, it's just kind of beyond our capability up here in Fairhill. For this particular event, it would be a fairly expensive and extensive undertaking to do that. I think there will probably be some folks that might be posting some videos as they're watching. What we're asking everybody to do, if they do that, is to tag us in it, any photos, any videos. We will, after the fact, once the competition is over, we will be able to post the rounds. We do have someone videoing the event, so that will be posted, and you will be able to watch it back. But as for watching it live, as much as we wish we could, we're not at that point this year.
All right.
We did talk about it. So hopefully one day we'll be able to do that, but sadly not this season.
Well, because every year I see all the clips, so I just wondered if it was bits and pieces of a stream. So that's on. All right. We got to find you a stream sponsor for next year.
Hey, that's fabulous. There you go. Now we're on to something. We would love that because we'd really love to do it, and we did kind of rack our brains to figure out a way to, but it's a pretty massive undertaking to do that. Certainly for the 5-star, they'll have that capability, but we don't. But yeah, I like your thinking, Steve. Let's promote that.
Maggie Kimmett, everybody. You can follow Maggie, Maggie_Kimmett, and The Real Rider Cup as well. You can follow for not just for the event, but all year long. A lot of the spring and the fall versions of The Real Rider Cup. Best of luck to everybody. And if you're listening and haven't donated yet, chip something in. And really, $5, $10, it doesn't have to be, three and four figure and five figure donations. Any little bit is going to go to a good cause, to retraining and to second careers and aftercare of every variety. So The Real Rider Cup. Maggie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. Good talking to you.
Always nice, and we'll see that total expand as the afternoon turns into the evening. 4 o'clock if you're anywhere near Fairhill. Jump in the car. There we go. We're going to jump into hour two, and we mentioned Ron Gierkink. I see that Shap has arrived too, Scott Shapiro. And do you want to do now, or do you want to wait until after Ron Gierkink? I can do Ron Gierkink now for Woodbine to come to you, or what's your morning? Yeah, of course we can. I'm taking a break, so we'll take the break. No, Ron, I think Ron's sitting working, and so we'll get Ron after you. All right? Shap is here. Yeah, 2.5 minutes. Plenty of time. Scott Shapiro joining us. So we'll do a little bit more Churchill with him, plus we'll get a final recap on his Del Mar season, how that went, the Woodbine action, the Woodbine mile, and the two grade ones for the two-year-olds in the Talma in the summer, as well as the Seaway. Very nice sequence at Woodbine tomorrow. This is a fabulous day, and I imagine, it's going to be gorgeous in Toronto tomorrow as well. I mean, what's going on here every single day this week? You're talking, it's been 80 degrees and just glorious. So I'm going to think that is going to translate all right over the border at Etobicoke. So let's take a look, actually, in advance. I'm just curious. Saturday, beautiful. Well, a little, you know, some clouds, sun clouds, mix 76 degrees. If you've never been to Woodbine Mile Day, take that in. That's a lot of fun. I was there for Tepin, which was okay. Me and Seth Merrow and I were there that day together, which was fun. And Tina came up too. I had been there to broadcast. I broadcast there, I think, Thursday and Friday that week. And then Tina came in Friday night, I think. So I highly recommend a Woodbine Mile visit. Right now, take a break. We'll come back to Churchill Downs. Big, big card tomorrow and all kinds of action as mentioned. This concert over at the exposition is insane. Incredible list of headliners and football tonight, the Cardinal and the Seminoles over at the stadium. And it's all happening at the races live from Churchill. Back after this, Scott Shapiro joins us. Ron Gierkink. We'll get a visit in with Darren and more. Stay with us. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit returns to Los Alamitos with opening day set for Friday, September 16th. Four stakes races highlight the meet led by the Los Alamitos Special on Saturday, September 24th. The meet will feature a stakes every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And racing fans, the meet will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 24th. You could win a berth to the 2022 NHC. And racing fans, the best of night racing continues at Los Alamitos every Saturday and Sunday night. Outstanding racing action is in store this weekend with stakes trials highlighting the racing card. Plus, our nighttime $2 pick six continues to be a popular wager. If there's not a carryover going into our Sunday night program, Los Alamitos will add $10,000 to the pick six pool. That's more money for the horse players to win. The best of racing. The best of nighttime quarter horse racing. Always at Los Alamitos. Remember, daytime thoroughbred racing returns on Friday, September 16th.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night.